Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
And hello to you today, Nicole. It's always nice to hear from you and to see your lovely face. Today we're going to talk about something a little bit that I think both of us have worked, I know you are working with currently, but things that we have both worked with in the past with other hypnotists, other hypnotherapists, and that is kind of having the confidence in delivering the work that we do and how we do it and yeah, that sort of thing. Why don't you go ahead and jump in on that?
Yeah, sure. I think so. As we know, and we've talked about this many times, hypnosis, hypnotherapy is not very regulated, especially in the UK. And I don't know state by state in terms of the states, but different countries around the world have different regulations where it comes to hypnosis. But there are countries like the UK where it's not a regulated practice, which means that you can essentially go to any training provider, do a training, and start working with clients. Which is great because it means that people like you and me who have a varied background in all sorts of different things, we can come into a new profession, we can learn how to work with people, and we can, you know, get to work helping people. But I come across a lot of people who maybe come from a different background, want to come into hypnosis and helping people, and then think, oh, but I don't know. And actually, no, I mean, I think it happens for a lot of people, but maybe I don't know the science behind this, or I haven't studied long enough to be able to do this, or, you know, how can I just go and do a little course, a little training course that's 4 days or a few months or whatever, and then call myself a therapist and start helping people when, you know, therapists, counselors, psychotherapists have to study and train for years and years.
And have supervision on top of that.
Right. And I think that can really challenge people's confidence in what they're doing, and make them feel like, in a sense, make them feel like this isn't a real profession. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
a pseudo profession. It's,
yeah,
it's, they don't, it's, that is a hard thing to kind of describe. I know it's like it's not too serious. We don't have to be too worried about this. It's just hypnotherapy.
Well, the people that I'm talking about are sort of, you know, on the other spectrum of that, of like, well, I'm working with people on a very intimate level and helping them make changes in their life, but I don't have the science. I don't understand the science behind it and how it works and why it works. And so I'm clearly not educated enough to be working with people in this capacity.
I would agree.
Okay.
If you don't feel as if you've received enough training that you can confidently go out there and work with somebody, and that doesn't mean with every single client, but you need to have a support system in place that says, you know what, I'm having a challenge here. What do you guys recommend? What kind of help should I be able to receive? That's more important to me, I think.
But completely ignored my point.
No, the point that you said was that they don't feel confident working with people because they didn't get the right kind of training.
So what I'm saying is they don't feel educated enough in the sense of, I don't understand how the brain works to understand why this is working.
Then they need to take it upon themselves to go out there and find the information, because it's out there and it's available for free.
Okay, right. But I don't know one hypnotherapist that is an actual neuroscientist that can explain to you exactly how the brain works. And I'm not talking about pop science. I'm talking about actual neuroscience.
There's nobody out there that can do that.
What do you mean there's nobody out there that can do
that? Nobody understands how hypnotherapy really works.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. People that are feeling undereducated, like, I don't understand how the brain works.
Now I understand what you're saying.
How hypnosis works.
Okay.
I
now
don't know
I
one
understand.
Person that's educated enough that works. Potentially Paulina Trevino, who we had that's doing the research in aphantasia.
Right.
Who is a scientist.
Yes.
But there are few and far between actual scientists who are doing this work that have the education to be able to sit down and explain to a client, this is how a brain works, and this is how this is working.
I understand what you're saying now. I wasn't ignoring what, I had misunderstood the context of it.
Right.
And so, yeah, and you know, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, for me at least, I haven't had any clients who ever asked me, how does this work?
Mm.
For one thing. But I wouldn't feel as if I can explain how hypnosis, what the theory behind hypnosis is and how it's supposed to work and what the ideas are, that sort of thing. But like, I couldn't explain the neuroscience of anything. That doesn't make me feel like I'm not capable of doing the work that I need to do, but that's also because of the background I come from in the other change work. And so I can understand how some people might feel that a little bit of a confidence thing in that, because they don't know how to just go right into a spiel or an explanation of how, yeah, I can understand that. That's a tough thing.
And I'm thinking about a particular person in mind, that does actually come from a medical background. And so coming from the medical background and stepping into the hypnosis background, a bit like we had on here recently, Kathy Hardy, who used to be a nurse and into hypnotherapy, she seems to have made that transition really easily, right? But I can understand how somebody who comes from, quote unquote, a real profession and then goes and does, you know, kind of a short course or whatever, to then coming to do this kind of work with somebody, can then be like, but I don't have the knowledge, let's say, to do this. But the point is, first of all, like you, I've never had a client say to me, so sit down and explain to me the ins and outs of how the brain works and how this is actually working. I've never had anybody ask me that. And I wouldn't be able to answer the question, because as much as I can, you know, chuck out their synaptic connections and neural pathways, I'm not a neuroscientist. And so what I'm saying is pop science.
Yes.
Basically,
yeah.
You know, I've never studied the brain. I couldn't tell you the different, you know, kind of parts of the brain and what each one is attributed to. I've learned a little bit, but not enough to tell you that this is exactly what's happening when we do hypnosis.
Well, now in my training that I had, we did talk about that a bit, about how the, you know, I think it is important for people in a training class to understand, with some of them, you know, how the amygdala works, because how those things are tied into what we do, I think is important, not only, like you said, to help give the therapist, the hypnotherapist, a little bit of confidence, but being able to explain those, even those little tiny bits, just a little bit of information to the client, makes them feel like they're in the hands of someone who can help them.
But then you go and see a counselor, for example, and the counselor's not sitting there telling you how the brain works and how having a conversation with them is changing neural pathways and creating new synaptic connections.
But that's because it's accepted by the American or the medical association as this is traditional stuff. And so we just accept that because that's what the doctor says.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So that's one element of, you know, kind of, I suppose, confidence. Am I educated enough? And I guess I hate this term. I really do. Imposter syndrome. It just makes my skin crawl. But, you know, this idea of, am I educated enough to do this? How educated do you need to be? And I was recently talking to somebody and I came up with this analogy, which I actually really love. You know, the idea of if you think of yourself as like a Russian doll, you know, and starting out as when we were sort of born as the smallest little doll in the Russian doll. And as we get older and we have experiences and we gain, you know, acquire information, knowledge and experience and skills, we kind of get a new layer, let's say, of the Russian doll. And so we keep gaining these new layers and these new layers and these new layers. And at the moment, my layer is hypnotherapist, but that doesn't mean that all of my previous knowledge and skills have been, you know, kind of deleted. They're all there inside my Russian doll.
Yes.
Right. So I'm bringing all of that with me to this current layer that I'm engaging in.
I do like that. And that's a great analogy. And again, I keep thinking back to what you said about not being able to explain the brain and that sort of thing. But even like us as control practitioners, we do in a way have a explanation of how this stuff happens, right? Mm. When we talk about the spider and we talk about, you know, the map of reality. And so we do have a general way that we can explain these things. And again, you brought up a really good point that I had never considered before. Never once have I ever heard of a therapist, a counselor, any mental health professional ever talking to me about how my brain works. Even when they were prescribing medications because I was supposedly had an imbalance in the chemistry in my brain.
Mm.
So isn't that interesting? We're just going to give you this pill because you're sad or you're angry. And we know that it does this to this thing, but that's all we really know. And then we know also that the real science shows that there's only about a 2% chance of that actually, you know. And so, yeah, that's a great point, Nicole.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like at the end of the day, a lot of the analogies and things that we're coming up with, you know, it's all theory, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever proved. I don't know
the critical faculty.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that you can actually identify that on a scan or something, or can you identify the subconscious mind? I don't know.
No. How do you tell the difference? Yeah, between the subconscious and the unconscious, and there again, yeah, you hit it on the nail. Is that it's all theory.
Right. And the point is, I love Freddie, you know, Freddie Jacquin always says this, you know, Anthony Jacquin is very well read, and he loves to read studies and things like that. And he's always publishing on the group. Every week he sends like a new study, a scientific study for us to, you know, if you're interested in having a read and stuff like that. And Freddie, I'm sure Freddie is very well read. You know,
I'm sure
Freddie will always say, I don't know the science behind this stuff. I have no, you know, I don't read papers. I don't know, you know, I don't know why it works. I don't know how it works. I just know that it does. And that's good enough for me, you know, and that's it.
Well, you know, look at most people in their laptops or their computers, even their cell phones. They don't know how that works, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
What's it matter?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When it comes down to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I suppose on the flip side of that, you've got highly educated people that are neuroscientists and that are researchers and that are, you know, scientists of whatever sort. And yet they're spending all of their time in a lab. And if they were to sit down and have an actual conversation with somebody that's experiencing anxiety, panic, or depression, they wouldn't know where to start.
They wouldn't know what to do, right?
Right. So, you know, it's kind of horses for courses, right? Which one suits you better? And the point is, if you can help somebody, then that's good enough, right? If you're showing up to a session with a client with the intention of, you know, wanting to help this person, then really, you know, whatever you do, and however, you know, however different they feel or don't feel, or even if they just come away with some relief, or they feel listened to, or they feel, you know, heard, or they've just been able to kind of share an experience with somebody that, how do you know, maybe they haven't shared that with anyone before, and you've just given them that space and you've, you know, helped them relax or whatever, you've given them a little gift of insight or something in that session, whatever that may be, you've helped that person and you've given them a gift. And is that not enough?
Yes, it is. How many times, even before we got into this kind of industry, and I'm sure you and I have never talked about this, but I'm going to put it right out here while we're talking. How many times before we got into the field of hypnotherapy were you and I sitting down with our friends or acquaintances, and they were telling us about their challenges and issues just because we're the type of people that others feel comfortable sharing with?
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can create that rapport. And even in those conversations, with zero training, with zero anything, because of our ability to have compassion and empathy and hear, we were able to give them some sort of an insight or the sacred space they needed to share. And they've gotten what they needed from even that.
Mm-hmm.
right? I mean, yeah. That's one of the things that took me into this, is because I was like, wow, I'm able to kind of do this. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, not everybody, obviously, but I think a lot of people come into this kind of work precisely because of that, because of they've got that kind of personality where, you know, they're just a kind of an automatic magnet for people to share what's going on with them, because they feel safe in that space and they feel held and heard. And that's it, really. And this is it. A lot of new hypnotherapists, I think, are so concerned about technique and scripts and wording and getting all of this stuff right. And can I remember the tool? And can I remember how to say it? And I think, I get it. You know, when you're learning something, it can feel a bit overwhelming, maybe, you know, and you want to get it right and whatnot. I'm a bit in two minds in terms of providing scripts for students. One, because, okay, it can be helpful when you're just starting out, just to kind of get comfortable. But on the other side of that, it could become too much of a crutch for people.
Well, and along with it becoming a crutch, it almost boxes you in to what that script is, and how do I then move outside of the bounds of what this has been able to cover for me? What happens if, and gosh, I don't have a script for that, right? And so I think that makes it tough. But, you know, even when I first got into the industry, I mean, I had every single session was absolutely scripted. And although you would never be able to tell that I was reading from a script, because I made sure that that was not the case, I was still dependent upon making sure that that paper was there. Am I turning it slow enough? Am I pacing this correctly? Did I? And so I was so concerned with the process that I wasn't fully engaged in the client.
And that's the point, isn't it? If you're sitting there reading from a script and a session that you've prepared before the client even has walked through the door, you can't, you know, the point, okay, you if you're reading from a script and you're so concerned, it's impossible for you to fully connect with the client sitting in front of you. It's impossible for you to react and respond to an emotional response, right? Mm-hmm. To a tear or whatever that is, you know, and kind of explore that a bit further or whatnot. Because you're so bound by this script. And while I understand that gives some people confidence and comfort, on the flip side of that, I would encourage anybody who's just learning or just graduated to try and put the scripts down as quickly as possible. Have a cheat sheet, you know, in front of you, let's say, where you've got like the name of the tool and maybe just like one or two sentences or just like a bullet point or two about the principle of the tool.
Right.
You know, just as a reminder.
Well, one of the things that does for you, I mean, it's much like when I get up to prepare a speech, I have the bullet points, right? And is what that does is it keeps me on track, but it also allows me the opportunity to be engaged. And it, you know, I think that when we're able to do that, not only does it engage us more with the clients, but it does bring our own personality and our own styles into it, which then connects with the client, I think, on a deeper level, because there's that, you know, that energy back and forth. And so I think it actually heightens the client experience when someone can just be there with them.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think anybody that's kind of struggling in that sense with confidence and can I do this and have I done enough courses and do I have enough tools? And, you know, I think most training providers use a limited number of tools, right? They're all kind of, you know, they probably use about, I don't know how many tools on average each trainer uses, but then they're not using hundreds of different tools, right? Mm-hmm. Most people are like, okay, I've got these X amount of tools that I, as far as I'm concerned, that's all that I need to, you know, that I need to as my go-to tools for my clients, right?
Right.
Most people will use one type of induction and that's it. You know, how many inductions do you need to know? Unless you're a stage hypnotist or something like that, and you want to do a few different ones for kind of effect, how many inductions do you need to use with one client?
Right. Exactly. And how many different smoking scripts do you need? How many different weight loss scripts do you need? How, and because that used to, you know, on a lot of the Facebook groups, you'll see people, oh, does somebody have a script for smoking? I'm like, or does somebody have a script for tinnitus? How about we find out what the client needs? Yet the client may have tinnitus, but what is the driving fact behind the tinnitus? The script may not ever even cover, because again, that's like cooking spaghetti, throwing it on the wall, and let's kind of see if this sticks. Is it done? And then, you know, that's, and I can understand the challenge for people like that. Once the person comes out of trance, if they've already got that questioning kind of feeling anyway, once that client will come out of trance, if they don't get the immediate kind of results that they've been expecting, that's going to lower the confidence level even more, because they were throwing spaghetti at a wall and they didn't, right? And so both parties didn't get 100% of what they wanted, and it lowers the confidence on both ends.
Yeah. I think that's it. You know, if you've done one training, it's enough. You know, become an expert in that particular method.
Absolutely.
And then trust your intuition. And I think it's so key to trust your intuition. I make so much stuff up on the spot, you know, like, because I'm just responding to the client in the moment. And all of this stuff comes into my head that I've never done with anyone else before, but it just makes sense in that moment. With that client, I mean, the Russian dolls analogy just came up talking with a client, and I'm like, oh, that's actually really good. I really like it.
You know, and it's, I think that in this industry in particular is what I have seen, because I didn't see it necessarily. Actually, I did see it in massage therapy. When people get into these industries and they're new, they're so, it's like when you get into something and you love it, it's like, oh my God. I've got to learn this. And then you learn so much and it becomes jumbled because you haven't focused on that one thing, because you think, well, the next thing is going to be a little bit easier or a little bit this, and it's going to make all the difference here. And so we lose sight of just focus on what it is that we're doing. Focus on the client.
Yeah. Information overload.
Yeah. I was guilty of that, because I mean, I've got how many certifications and everything, because I got to have that, and I've got to learn that, and I've got to learn that, and I've got to learn that. And it's like, yeah, I've got a couple things, lots of tools in my belt, but there's only two or three that I use.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So I guess the message is to new hypnotherapists, people that have just graduated, or anybody that's struggling with confidence in the field, you know, first of all, how much science do you really need to know to be able to just work with somebody and help them? You know, if you've got four tools, three tools, one tool, whatever, it's enough. Just go and help people.
Right.
You know, that's what you got into this for.
Stay in your lane, though.
Absolutely stay in your lane.
That's so important for us to remember. In this industry, because we're so unregulated, we have to self-regulate. We have to, as hypnotherapists, we have to be those people out there who carry around higher ethical standards, right? Or at least that's the way I look about myself. I expect myself to be the epitome of ethics in my industry, because that is how we ensure, number one, that we can continue to practice in this industry. And number two, it's how we ensure that we are delivering the best quality work that we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, if
great
you
conversation.
A boost, this is it.
Well, and you know what? Here's another thing for the listeners out there. Don't forget, Nicole and I, we're mentors. If you're having challenges, Nicole and I are here. Reach out to us. We've both got web pages. We've both got mentor programs. You know, we can, and even a short conversation with me, and probably with Nicole, I'm not going to talk for her, but I know for me, I'm going to give you some time for free, because I want to see that you're succeeding. That's what I'm about. That's what my whole life is about, is helping people succeed. And that means our listeners.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. All right. Well, we look forward to hearing, not seeing. We look forward to creating another episode for you next week.
That's right, everybody. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.